razzle dazzle. On third and goal with everybody bunched in.
This is the SiriusXM Blitz. Here are your hosts, Bruce Murray and Rich Cannon.
Pittsburgh goes to Jacksonville. They come away with a win 17-9, improve their record to 3-2. We welcome you back, SiriusXM Blitz. Bruce Murray, Rich Cannon. More phone calls in the next hour of the program, plus Adam Schefter, NFL insider for ESPN. But we'll spend the next few minutes with the head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers. He joins us every week and is with us now, Coach Bruce Murray. Rich Cannon, always good to catch up with you. How are you today?
Good, man. How about you guys?
We're doing well, Coach, and I got to be honest with you. You're a hard team to figure out right now. Just when you look at these games, I thought this game would maybe wouldn't be so tight. Where are you guys right now, Mike? Obviously, you're 3-2, but I don't get the sense you played your best football to date.
I don't believe that we have. Hopefully, our best football is ahead of us. I think a function of last week's issues, if you look at it, I didn't think we had issues moving the ball. I thought we converted third downs. I thought we possessed the ball, time of possession, and so forth. I thought red zone failure was a reason why we were only able to put 17 points on the board in that football game. We had a turnover. We had a sack fumble in the red area. We settled for a field goal. And you just can't play football like that. I think that's why the game was a lot closer than it had to be. On last Sunday.
Well, again, yeah, you talk about those numbers, Coach. You'd like to see those in any football game. Time of possession, 35-25, and you run the ball for 4 yards a carry, and like you said, you converted on third down. You were 8-16, and then you struggled inside the red zone. One of those struggles, early fourth quarter, you're down to their, I think, 13-yard line. Ben Roethlisberger flushed out of the pocket, fumbles. He's been around for a long time. He knows that points in that situation are very important. Is that an issue that you even have to address with him, or he realizes the mistake that was made? You got to protect the ball in that situation.
I think that the answer to both elements of that question is yes. You don't leave things left unsaid, even though I have an understanding that he understands how critical that possession is at that time and maintaining possession of the ball, how critical that is. He understands it. He understands it from every angle, but it doesn't stop you from having very necessary conversations.
Mike, some good things defensively. Anytime you hold a team under 250 yards, I think you're doing some things well. You're getting off the field on third down. Just your thoughts on the overall play of the defense.
Really it was the first time this year that we can honestly say that we put two halves of good defense together in 60 minutes, if you will, and that was exciting. Hopefully it's something that we can build upon moving forward. Jacksonville's the type of team that runs a lot of gadgets and double moves and so forth, and I thought our guys not only did a nice job of keeping the ball in front of them and playing many of those concepts, but they also did it in a penalty-free-like manner, and there's two elements to that, obviously, in today's NFL, penalties being one of them, and we were clean in both regards. Most of the time when people have scoring drives on us is because we picked up a penalty and probably a significant one of some kind. I thought we played good. I thought we played fundamental, and I also thought we played penalty-free, and that allowed us to play 60 minutes of good defense.
Well, and, Coach, you're dealing with some new guys. Obviously, injury is always part of a game, but you've got some banged-up linebackers and, banged-up players in other parts of the field, especially in the secondary. Chemistry-wise, does this group look like they came together a little last week and understand their roles now?
I think that process is going to be continual. Obviously, some of the significant components that we have out, Ike Taylor, Jarvis Jones, it's going to be some time before they come back to us. So I think we're going to be in a continued state of evolution in terms of those guys getting a level of comfort and understanding not only in terms of what they do, but how they fit in the big picture of things. But make no mistake about it, man. We don't complain about injuries. It's a part of the game. We got a great deal of confidence that the next men are capable of stepping up and providing winning ball for us. And I think Bryce McCain, specifically with his pick six there, the critical time in the game, proved that point.
Mike, now you turn your focus to Cleveland, coming off of a huge win last week. What an impressive performance. They're down by 25, one of the biggest comebacks on the road in NFL history. But the play of Brian Hoyer, I'm sure, has really gotten your attention.
We were talking about how we felt about Bryant before the opener, because Bryant has been a part of us in the past, and we got a great deal of respect for him, and people kind of chuckled. I think he's, you know, he's proven what some of the things I stated the first time we played him. He's got a great above-the-net game. He doesn't make mistakes, and he makes decisions quickly. You know, through four games, he's only been sacked five times. He's got one interception in those four games. He's doing a great job of administering the offense and keeping that thing rolling and really minimizing negativity. They've only turned the ball over one time in four games. You know, they're a 2-2 football team. They very well could be 4-0, particularly when you're not turning the football over. You got a chance to win any game you're in. I think that's why their games have been so close, and they've been able to win two of them. I'm surprised they hadn't been able to win more.
Well, and you learned a lot about them in week one, how they won't quit, obviously, as you came away with the win in that one on that late field goal. But, you know, what do you take from that first game as you prepare for the second time you'll see them early on in the season?
You know, just some of the physical matchup things that are related to a common opponent. You know, they were a new staff with a lot of new components from a personnel standpoint the first time we played them. Some of that unknown is now no longer an unknown. We've got our guys on video versus their guys. We see what they are schematically. You know, we got four regular season games to reference in that regard. But in terms of how the game unfolded, the plays that were made, or the nature in which the game unfolded, you know, that's subject to change anytime you step in the stadium. Just because we started fast in the last game doesn't mean we're going to start fast. Just because we finished slowly doesn't mean we're going to finish slowly. We got to wipe the slate clean and understand that when we step into their stadium, that it's us versus them.
You know, it just seems so rare in today's NFL, Mike, where we've got an offense that has a workhorse back, a guy that's going to get the ball 25 or 30 times. I mean, more and more teams are going to a platoon of backs, a trio of backs, and that's the situation with the Browns. They did get Ben Tate back last week, but they've got a couple young backs that can carry and tote the rock as well.
Yeah, I tell you, Terrence is, you know, up over 4.5 yards a carry. Crowell is up over 4.5 yards a carry. Tate is 5.9 yards a carry. You know, they're about 143 a game running the football. You couple that with the fact that they're not turning the ball over like we just talked about, you see why they're having success as a football team. They're a formidable group. We got our work cut out for us there, and if we want to play 60 minutes of good football in this game, we got to minimize what they're capable of doing from a run game standpoint.
Coach, there are only two teams that have turned the ball over just once this year, Cleveland and the team that played last night on Monday Night Football, the Seattle Seahawks. You didn't turn them over week one. Last year, I remember your struggles at the beginning of the season. I think it was until week five before your first turnover. Better this year. You've got five through the five games this year, but still not near the top of the league. What are your issues with getting the ball out of the other team's hands, and how do you address it?
You know, I think game circumstances have a lot to do with that. When you're ahead and you get people in an aggressive mode, probably outside their comfort zone, those things happen. And we haven't been in dominant position in a lot of these football games where that happens. So I think that minimizes it to a degree in itself. But, you know, we're not concerned about, you know, taking the ball away itself. We just want to play good defense, play good fundamental defense, play good assignment defense, and hustle and hit. And we think that those turnovers, the turnover discussion will take care of itself.
Mike, last one for me. Obviously, you played Cleveland in week one. Where have you seen the most improvement from their defense since week one?
You know, I just think I think week in and week out, they're increasingly getting more multiple. They have more personnel groups, 6 DBs, 7 DBs, 2 down linemen, 3 down linemen, and sub-package football. They give you a lot to be prepared for from a sub-package football standpoint. And Rich, as a quarterback, you know how taxing that can be. And that's improved greatly from week one to where we are today.
Coach, one more, we'll let you go, and I have to ask about a specific play. I assume you've addressed it already, but 2 minutes to go in the football game, Jacksonville out of timeouts, 3 kneels, and the game is over, and you run a play because Ben Roethlisberger says Antonio Brown needs another reception to get to 5. I think the stat is now 21 straight games that he's had that, but it does call into play, you know, is this about the win or the individual stat? Why run that play there? Doesn't it point to the individual over the team?
I don't think it takes away from what we're doing as a football team at all. We've been involved with things like that in the past, you know, even with different players. You know, when Hines Ward was playing for us and he played at a high level for a long time, it seemed like every week he had some significant streak or things going. We never get blinded by that. We don't spend any time, quite frankly, talking about it. It doesn't occupy any of our energy or game plan development. We just had an optimum situation there where the two-minute warning was on us. We had an opportunity to gather and talk, and the game was at hand, and Ben suggested that we do it. We had a low-risk, minimal play where we put Antonio in the backfield and we threw him a swing. I viewed that no more risky than, you know, turning and tossing the ball to Le'Veon Bell, for that matter. So we did it, and we moved on. I'm not going to make a big deal out of it. I understand how it might be a topic for discussion in terms of team play and individual play, but it was none of that. Really, it was more of a tribute to Antonio Brown and how the guys feel about Antonio Brown in terms of not only what he does in the stadium. He is a ridiculous worker. He works as hard as anybody that we have in this building, and the guys have so much respect for him. They wanted him to continue that.
Coach, listen, thanks as always for spending a couple minutes with us and talking about everything that went on last week. We get to talk to you next week about the Browns. We'll catch up with you then.
Great, no problem. You guys have a good one.